Senator Tom Coburn is the ranking member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Senator, another letter to another head of a federal agency about places that you see potential for cuts to kind of ease what they're calling the pain of sequestration. Do you get results from these letters, or is it your sense that they kind of go in one ear and out the other?
Get very little response, and haven't had a chance to find out if they're doing anything. Because got to have a hearing, because this administration, Bush was not great at responding, but this one's even poor at responding to congressional letters. And I know they got a lot of stuff to do, but, you know, there are ways to make sequester easier. But one of the things most people don't realize that, you know, we had a sequester in 96 when President Clinton was president. And OMB made a determination when we did that sequester. I think we cut $64 billion through a rescission plan. No, it was 86. That was I've got that wrong. It was under Reagan. And when OMB issued the regulations, their direction on the sequester, they did it department-wide, which gave the departments the ability to make decisions. And this, the OMB interpretation, was line item by line item. So they limited their own ability to give their the executives in the federal government the ability to make cogent decisions about what's important and what's not.
Last time you were on the program, we talked about the relationship with you and Senator Carper, the new chairman of the committee. You're the new ranking member. And you said you were looking forward to that working relationship because you have a good personal relationship with Senator Carper. Are you seeing the kind of collaboration that you'd like to see there? Do you have a sense that, as you said, these kinds of things take hearings, and you're going to be able to get those hearings?
Well, I think it remains to be seen. I have a great relationship with Senator Carper, but, you know, if I was running the committee, I'd probably do it different than he does. That's what makes us distinct individuals. But he's always attentive and always listening and tries to accommodate us. But, you know, he's the ranking member and they're in charge, so they get to decide what happens when.
The letter that you're sending to the Secretary Vilsack today lists a number of different things that they have told you about that they've already done, the consolidation of cell phone contracts, closing offices, those kinds of things.
Right.
And then you go on in detail a loan program that applies to properties on Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. I it's hard to think that Martha's Vineyard is a rural USDA-eligible place for loans. In the normal average American's mind.
How do you present this kind of stuff, though, Senator, in a nonpartisan way, or is that even possible when you're a Republican and the administration is a Democratic administration?
Well, I have credibility. I've offered just as many amendments against Republican plans and for Republican presidents and Republican congresses as I have against Democrat. I don't look at it that way. I look at what we're doing, what should be a priority. Our big problem is there's no grown-ups up here to set priorities about what's most important. And the defense of the administration, and it doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat, the defense is we can't cut a thing. We can't make priority choices. And the fact is you know, we're going to eventually do this. May not be why I'm here. But the economics will force America to make the hard choices. And when we get forced into it, the pain's going to be much greater than if we do it voluntarily now. I mean, should we be spending monies on lower priority things when higher priority things that really make a big difference in individuals' lives or in the defense of our country or in security of our nation are lacking? And that's my question. And so when the president, you know, revealed that he wanted sequestered a herd, I thought that was a wrong-headed policy. What we should do is we should make it only herd in the things that are very low priority and not herd in the things where we're actually good and actually making a difference.
We have the text of your letter to Secretary Vilsack linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Senator Tom Coburn is the ranking member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. And as I read through this list, Senator, another conversation that we've had in the past came to mind, and that is the idea of an inventory of programs, everything that every agency does. you've been asking for that for a long time. It's now codified in the GIPRA Modernization Act. OMB has started the effort to get that information available to people. David Walker, the former Comptroller General, was on the program this week talking about the Government Transformation Initiative's plan to do a commission that would look at this list of programs and try to prioritize them and determine where the duplication and so on is. Do you like that concept in general? Do you like GTI's version of that concept, or is there some other way that you think we should be approaching this?
Well, let's see. When was the last time a commission worked? We have a commission. It's called the U.S. Congress. And what we haven't had is the American people demand of the U.S. Congress for them to do our job. I mean, that's the real issue. And you know, we know all this duplication. The GAO's, you know, I forced the GAO to study every government program, and they still haven't found them all. We've been doing this 3.5 years now, and they've come out with $374 billion of potential duplication, of which about $200 billion is firm duplication. Something like 1,864 different grant programs, where there's multiple duplication in it. So we have the information, and when I offer those amendments on the Senate floor, they never pass. And because what has happened is Congress has become totally parochial. It's not so much a partisan Congress, it's a parochial Congress. Everybody wants to get reelected so badly that they don't want to offend the first person with a stupid program that may be running in their state or district, and or a low priority program. Tell me whether we should be working on autism and breast cancer and colon cancer, or funding wine tours, or subsidizing travel overseas for people that's not going to make one penny of difference in terms of our export basis.
Senator Coburn, what do you do to change that mentality?
You change who's in Congress. You quit electing career politicians to Congress. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. You bring people with real experience, whether it's a policeman or a school teacher or an engineer or a businessman or a doctor or whatever, but people who have real-world experience and actually have some common sense. You know, it's interesting. There's a Senate election coming up this next week in Massachusetts, and you have somebody with real-world experience, and this is, I'm not talking parties here. I'm just talking the contrast between somebody that's been in Congress 30 years, running for a Senate seat, versus somebody who's never been in Congress, served in war, has an engineering degree, highly, you know, experienced in what they're doing, and we're going to elect a career politician. And you're going to get the same results. And that'd be true whether that was Democrat, Republican, Republican, or Democrat. And so the question you have to ask is, we have the government that the American people have elected. And as long as we continue to send people whose whole goal is to stay in politics and get reelected rather than their goal to fix a problem and go home, we're going to continue to get the same results regardless of what type of commissions we set up.
Well, Senator, that's exactly where I was going to go next, because that's what you're up against is 320 million people who don't seem to be that disturbed by what's going on.
Well, and so the consequences in a free republic is they're going to suffer them. And so, you know, I've written a whole book called The Debt Bomb. What's going to happen to us when because we refuse to make these changes, refuse to address the problems, refuse to get the $100 billion a year in fraud out of Medicare and Medicaid, when we refuse to do what is smart and common sense that will secure a future for our country, lessen the tax burden, create more freedom and more opportunity, and ultimately help the people that we say we want to help. We have a group of short-term thinkers in Washington, and their term of their thinking is the next election rather than what is in the long-term best interest of the country. And so, you know, it's a very frustrating position I find myself in, because I don't care if, as a matter of fact, I'm not running for reelection. I didn't care if I got reelected last time. What I care about is whether or not the kids that I've delivered in Oklahoma over the last 25 years have the same kind of opportunities I do. And right now they don't, because a bunch of career politicians have decided their career is more important than the outcomes of the country.